Mr. Relevant with you. Friday edition, getting ready for the weekend. Huge week ahead. We are less than a week away from the NFL draft. We will talk draft crushes. Me and Colin Russo each have three. We'll preview the game one, the beginning of the NBA playoffs between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Indiana Pacers. We got to catch up on some transfer portal news as the heartbeat of the Badgers, Chucky Hepburn, enters the portal yesterday. Taylor Swift dropped an album last night. I listened to the whole thing. And then she dropped the second half of the album, which I've listened to none of. So we will talk about the Taylor Swift hype. I imagine one of us, at least on this show, have not listened to any of the album. So we will do all that and more. And of course, we will wrap up the show with what Strofe learned. As I mentioned, I'm Alex Strofe with you from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Producer Tiny Hands, Hunter Vaughn here as always. What's up, Hunter? How are you, bud? Everything good?
I'm good. I'm excited about the Taylor Swift album.
Yeah, you brought
I love
in,
it.
So your wife is a huge Swiftie.
Yes.
And you brought in some great sweet treats that were the Tortured Poets Department themed.
Yes.
TTPD themed.
With the, it was some chocolate dipped Oreos and pretzels.
I didn't get either of those, but I did get the Rice Krispie and I got a strawberry.
Yep. Well, what's the occasion? Why is there street treats?
The new Taylor Swift album came out. My wife's a big fan. She
baked some stuff or made some stuff?
Yeah, she chocolate dipped some treats.
She's in her chocolate dipping era.
Yes.
She's been making a lot of chocolate dip.
That's her thing?
Yep. So things, she was just like, hey, I like doing this. I have fun doing it. Her and her sister did it. And then they were like, we're not going to eat all of this. So I tried to do something nice for the office and bring it in.
You come bearing gifts.
Yeah.
You didn't let me know.
Yeah, there's still some strawberries out there. You want me to go grab you one quick?
I'm okay. Thank you. I don't need to eat right now.
Got it. Colin Russo is here as well. You hear him on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day during the football season. You hear him on a smattering of ESPN Madison programming. Currently, yesterday was Colin Russo's 22nd birthday, so I think he's feeling a little rough this morning. Is that safe to say? You're okay?
Nah, I got my stuff together. I'm all right.
That's good.
I've had better days. Let's call it like we see it, but I'm okay.
That's good.
Yeah, I don't know. What about you?
I mean, I feel great, man. Yeah, I didn't celebrate a birthday last night. I'm feeling good.
I don't know. I'm not a huge birthday guy.
I don't believe that.
No, yeah, you'd be surprised. I don't like... All right, this is going to come off as ungrateful.
Oh, here we go.
I don't love the amount of texting and responding to calls you have to do.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. This was the first year, and I think I talked about this on the show around my birthday in December. I think this is the first year I didn't actually on. Do you have a Facebook?
Not one that I use. So
okay.
No.
So I mean, I use Facebook a little bit, but everybody. I mean, that's obviously the app where they notify you when it's somebody's birthday. This is the first year I didn't respond individually to everyone, and it made my birthday a lot more
enjoyable.
Yeah, enjoyable.
Well, there's people that sometimes text you that. Literally, the text above it is the previous birthday well wishes, I should say, from the year prior. I'm like, this is just stupid at this point. We don't talk enough.
But you don't need to be wishing me. Do you wish, how about the people when you know they recently had a birthday, at least semi-recently, and you know you did not wish them a happy birthday, and now they're wishing you a happy birthday? Is that awkward for you, or do you let it fly?
Do I feel guilty about it?
Yeah, essentially what I'm asking.
No. Because I have some perspective with all of this. If we're buddies, family, coworkers make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three. If I talk to you frequently enough where I could see you in passing or whatever, or we talk in whatever regard.
I didn't appreciate that you didn't answer my phone call, but it's fine. I've kind of forgot about your birthday.
You can't call me at 7:50 p.m. on my birthday night.
Why not?
Because I'm not going to answer.
I would answer if you called me at that time.
Yeah.
Does that say more about me or you?
You.
All right, fair enough. Well, happy birthday. Hope you had a good one.
Yeah, thank you.
Did Chucky Hepburn of the Badgers ruin your birthday?
That's right. I didn't put two and two together. Yeah, that happened on my birthday.
Heartbeat of the Badgers, Chucky Hepburn. He enters the transfer portal. And A.J. Storr commits to Kansas within a matter of minutes yesterday afternoon. So Chucky Hepburn now out of Wisconsin. I don't know that they even have half of a roster at this point, as four of their top seven scorers from a year ago now, either in the portal or with Tyler Wall, who I think was their second leading scorer, third leading scorer out of eligibility. Connor Sejan gone. A.J. Storr gone. Chucky Hepburn
gone. Gus Yaldin.
Ross Candelino. Luke Hartle. Isaac Lindsay, if you want to count all those.
So who does this reflect? There's been a lot of discourse about.
I
everybody's putting, in a very Wisconsin way, trying to shift the blame away from guard and putting it on. This is what college athletics is.
That's the direction I'd go, more so than guard. I mean, the Hepburn one is the most concerning one by a mile.
Eight guys?
But that I feel like Duke is at seven.
Duke's got 7 5-stars coming in. That's the reason. It has nothing to do with NIL. It has those guys are getting replaced.
It does have something to do with NIL.
So what? Couldn't pay him? Wisconsin refused to pay him? And gone? See ya?
No.
After 3 years? It's not just a money thing.
This is my theory. This is my theory. AJ Storr is like, hey, bro, you see what's out here? I'm going to go get a Millie from Kansas. You can go get a bag somewhere else. I don't think Wisconsin's paying him.
You don't think it was that Frankie Fiddler kid that they were? Chucky was actually actively recruiting to Wisconsin. You don't think that guy said, hey, Creighton's actually pretty awesome. They're losing a bunch of scholarship players. Right. Creighton's going to give me money, and they said to try to get you too.
I think it's possible.
It's in Omaha.
I think it's possible.
Where we're both from. It's a Big East school. It's a better basketball conference, and they're losing a lot of talent, so they got a lot of money to spend, if they have any. I don't even know. But yeah, I mean, they got Shireman a couple years ago, so Creighton definitely has some money to throw around.
Mm-hmm.
It's stupid. And listen, I understand the NIL. This is what college athletics is. This is also a reflection of guard. This is the culture you've created. What happened to the guy? A year ago, this wasn't an issue. What changed? Do they want to play for you anymore? Doesn't seem like it. Here's the way I look at it, too. If it's just NIL related, none of the players who committed to Kentucky would stay. I mean, would leave. Kentucky has a bank worth NIL, more than any other team in the SEC.
Are they a bad example this year with Calipari leaving?
That's my point. It's all about the coach. They care about the coach they play for. Coach leaves, all the players leave. It's not the NIL. They don't, it's not like they'll just play for anything.
Two things can be true, though, Colin.
Oh, Mark Pope's a good coach. They're all leaving. They're all leaving and following Cal. And I know they might get a similar... I agree. Two things can be true. But the point is, if money talks, and that's the, you know, the headline of college athletics, none of those Kentucky guys would have left. Because those guys are getting paid more than any other... They would get paid at any other SEC school.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. The thing that fascinates me and why I say, you know, two things can be true, because two things can be true in this regard, is, yeah, there probably is plenty of blame to put on guard. The other issue is the day prior, the director of recruiting leaves for Wisconsin, gets a job, head coaching job at D2, Rockhurst.
They lost two guys on their staff, right?
Yeah.
They lost another guy.
Well, yeah, Oliver Dean. Or Dean Oliver, am I saying that backwards? Dean Oliver. He's got two first names. I always misplace them. Dean Oliver was let go. I believe guard said it was his choice to let him go. And now the director of recruiting, Kyle Blackburn, takes a job at Rockhurst.
So where do you go from here?
Well, first off, you need to get a director of recruiting. And second off, obviously, you've got a ton of roster spots to fill. Now, the good news is there's a million players in the portal, and that's barely an exaggeration. It's 35% of Division I men's basketball athletes entered the portal this season, and obviously several of them have committed already, but there's still some good names out there that you can get after. The NIL portion of this, though, is a big part of the recruiting these days. I mean, yeah, you have to make the sell on the head coach, of course, but like AJ Storr wasn't being sold on a head coach.
No, but that 7 schools in 7 years, I think there's some deep...
That's a common theme now, though.
That's a little overboard. I think there's some deep reflection that AJ Storr needs to do about loyalty and commitment. Because NBA teams are going to see that. You think they're going to like that? 3 college teams in 3 years, 4 high school teams in 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
NFL teams are not going to like the look of that. NBA teams, excuse me.
No, you're right about that. I think...
It's a reflection. Listen, you want to jump ship and bail? I understand it has something to do with the money, but it also says something about you as a player.
But it's free agency now.
I know.
And I don't know if you've
seen the
news.
There's got to be a 2-year minimum with national letter of intent.
Yeah, it needs to become more contracted.
If it's 2 years, that's the only way you can fix it. Unless you salary cap and pool a bunch of money per conference.
That's never going to work.
Never going to work, never going to happen, because there's no collective bargaining agreement.
Correct.
And that's number one. Or the only thing you could do is make it a minimum of 2 years unless your coach gets fired. If your coach gets fired or leaves, you get an exemption. But you have to stay for 2 years. It's the only way you can do it. And you got to make more, like NCAA has got to be receptive of this problem at the very least.
Well, they have to understand it exists, of course.
Yeah, there's the NIL problem. I also like will blame guard every chance I get.
I've noticed.
This is guard not being able to re-recruit his roster. That's what you got to do every year.
But he did a great job last year.
He did a great job last year.
But this year it's in shambles.
Shambles.
I mean,
and did he lose the locker room? Is there something to be like?
So that's hard to say because Stephen Crowell's still here, and obviously he's now the longest tenured Badger. Max Klesmit is still here. John Blackwell's not going anywhere after having a terrific freshman season in the Big Ten. So, at least as of now, and maybe that could change. But things are in good shape as it stands right now in terms of some of those guys. But yeah, the Chucky one is incredibly concerning for Greg Gard. But you can't make a move at head coach right now. I think we would agree on that.
Probably not. I would have liked to make a move. I would have made a move after losing to JMU, personally.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people
I don't think that Big Ten.
That.
I don't think that Big Ten championship run makes any difference. I think it's all about how you perform in the tournament and how you are recruiting. And I know Storr was a great pickup, and Chucky developed pretty damn well.
Yeah.
Other than that, there's been a lot to be desired from Greg Gard. Go after a UConn guy. I'll be the first to say it. Go get Luke Murray. UConn's primary assistant, assistant.
Bill Murray's son?
You want Bill Murray at every game? I do. And that's without his son being...
You're an 80-year-old man.
An outstanding basketball
Bill Murray
line.
At every game? I do.
If you watched UConn in the playoffs, what were they great at? Ball movement? Their sets were unbelievably good. Did you see that Sam Decker tweet with one of UConn's sets? And he literally quote-tweeted like a play that UConn ran during the championship.
Said, I've never seen this.
I've never seen this before in my entire life. Who scripted that? Luke Murray. Who studies FIBA, Spain, Russia, Uzbekistan basketball? Luke Murray.
Uzbekistan?
Luke Murray. Who is an elite recruiter? Who brought certain guys in to buy into...
Uzbekistan.
Who recruited a bunch of mid-major talents and groomed them into all-conference, all-American players? Luke Murray. Who does the primary scout? What they do, what UConn does, is each game they play, they switch off in the scout. One assistant coach, Kamani Young, will do one game. The other assistant coach, Luke Murray, will do the other game. Who did the championship, Illinois, and Northwestern? The bigger games. Luke Murray.
Okay, we got the point.
My point is, McIntosh, if you listen to this for whatever God knows what reason.
What's that supposed to mean?
I don't know if he... do you think McIntosh listens to any programming about Wisconsin sports?
I imagine he does.
If I'm in his position, I don't at all, but that's besides the point.
Well, good news is you're not in his position.
Well, if I was in your position, Chris, here's what I'd say to you. Here's what I would do. I would take a deep, hard look about the philosophy that you instilled with the move of getting rid of Christ, and I'd have that same philosophy reflected on the basketball program.
Don't you feel like that philosophy, though, is
I could get you
brat philosophy?
I could get you a handshake deal with Luke Murray by the end of the day. I'm telling you that right now.
Ooh, Mr. Big Time.
Yeah, what is this name drop?
I could do it. Partially because I want to see Wisconsin good again.
Partially because I want Bill Murray at the games.
And partially because Luke Murray and my brother have a good relationship, and I want my brother to coach here. That'd be fun.
All right. So you would like to still see them make a move? If it's for the right guy. Yes, for coaching.
Yeah, like, what?
Obviously not for players.
Pope,
they have to.
Mark Pope got hired a week ago. It's not like we're in no man's land. Go figure it out.
All right.
You know?
We'll see. I doubt that happens, though.
I agree.
But you could have a handshake deal in place with Luke Murray.
I can. McIntosh, please. If you're in his office, if you're his secretary watching this, just drop a little nugget in the office. Hey, this guy said he could get Luke Murray on the phone by the end of the day. You want to exercise it? Sure.
Do you think you're more important than you actually are?
Yes.
Okay.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. I'm just asking.
Shoot. I'd be happy to help in the process. That's all I'll say.
All right,
for a finder's fee.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, you better compensate it.
Instead of moving on from guard and promoting somebody internally.
They wouldn't do that.
Which would drive me up the wall.
They wouldn't do that.
Luke Murray.
One
Luke Murray was a sniff away from Cooper Flagg. Luke Murray.
Okay, we know his name.
It's a great head coach's name, too.
Luke Murray is a good head coach's name. It's a strong name.
It's a strong name.
And he's Bill Murray's son.
Yeah, he's making his own legacy.
Okay. Chucky Hepburn out. We will see what else comes out from the Wisconsin Badgers. 6 days away from the start of the NFL draft, which I am very much looking forward to. The Packers hold pick 25 in the first round. Colin Russo and I, who is a Jaguars fan, by the way, the Jags currently hang on to what pick? 17 in the first
17.
Round? 17. So I'm curious what draft crushes you and I both have as it stands right now. For our teams, but I think, you know, picking within the same wheelhouse, 17 and 25, and some similar needs as it stands right now, I think some of our crushes will be very similar. So I think we each have three, correct? You have three?
So is this just to clarify, this is in relation to what I want the Jaguars to do?
Yeah, but I'm going to talk about it from a Packers standpoint, but also I think we can have the conversation
around
the Packers.
I think this guy, whoever gets us, these guys are going to get
yeah, and that's
good
how
players.
I feel too. Okay. I think that anybody that gets them, right? Like Christian Gonzalez, the D-back who now plays for New England last year, was a guy I was in love with. He had a great rookie year. I think he's going to be a terrific defensive back.
Is that your way of saying I called that? Like him being
no,
good?
I'm just saying like everybody has somebody they fall in love with. Christian Gonzalez was my guy last year. I have a couple guys this year though that I want to talk about. So I'll let you go first. Who's number one on your list?
Are we going one? Back and forth?
Yeah, we'll go back and forth.
Okay,
we'll
the first one that I really like, because you got to go middle of the first round, is, and this relates to what I want the Jaguars to do, number one, but also just because I'm in love with the physical attributes of it, Brian Thomas Jr.
Interesting.
The second receiver on Louisiana State University, and this is a guy who I believe didn't even pick up football until somewhat into his high school career, and blew himself up the boards at the combine, ran like the 4.3s, 40-inch vertical, like checked all those boxes, but also led the nation in touchdown catches. He's a like a deep ball threat. He's a pure X receiver, body built, has AJ Brown written all over him. So that's what I like to see. And I think whoever gets him is going to get a steal because there's so many receivers. I understand that.
There's a ton.
But in terms of big-bodied, freakishly athletic receivers that if you put with the right developmental staff could make some real damage, Brian Thomas is my first one.
That's interesting. And he's a guy that's being mocked all over the first round.
All over the
could
place.
Could be a top 10 pick, could fall to 30. He's one of those guys that just it seems like nobody really has a good grasp on where he could fall or get drafted very high. So I'll ask this with pretty much every guy, and I imagine the answer is yes. If the Jaguars move up to get him, you're okay with it?
He could be there at 17, but yes.
He could be there at 17, but he could also go at 9.
I could see the Jaguars making a move into the top 10 and trying to get one of the top three guys. And Rome,
yep.
Malik Neighbors, and of course they're not going to get Harrison, but yeah.
Yeah.
I could see them making a move like that, or on draft day, I could see them going to get Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, you mentioned that last week.
Yep,
is a guy that's. Do you wants
are,
out of
so
San
are you familiar with Pretty Ricky on Twitter?
I am not.
So there's
Where
a guy who, during the free agency frenzy, created an account called Pretty Ricky like 213,
okay.
And Pretty Ricky is definitely it's an alias. He's definitely an agent or something.
Okay,
like an NFL agent. He dropped the Brian Burns trade a day before it happened. He dropped Gabe Davis going to Jacksonville before it all happened. Before Schefter and anybody got it. This guy, and he got the NFL or Twitter took him off Twitter. He just got back yesterday.
What's his at?
Pretty Ricky, R-I-C-K-E-Y 213.
Okay, keep going.
And he just dropped scoops. He's definitely an agent. He's definitely like a director of recruiting at some team. But he said a couple things. He's talking about how he knows about the Patriots. He knows about Jacksonville. He knows about the Giants especially. I think he might be a Giant fan. But
no, he has a Giant photo in his...
Right.
Yeah.
But you go through the stuff that he has. All these scoops are right or have been proven right from the free agency part. So he's doing the same thing here. But point is, he was saying that Jacksonville would move a second-round pick for Ayuk if they were to do it, but also like teams like the Patriots are all in on him, that type of thing. So something to monitor. Keep an eye on Pretty Ricky 213. See what he says.
All right, interesting. I like that. All right, my number one draft crush, a guy I've fallen in love with within the last week, is a defensive back, and it is not Cooper. Is it DeJean? Have we decided how to say that? It's DeJean.
That's what Iowa has been saying all year. Tausch started doing Dijon or something, and that's like stuck around the ESPN Wisconsin stations.
So DeJean. It bothers me. It is not Cooper DeJean, though. It's Quinyon Mitchell, the top-rated cornerback from Toledo. I think the one thing that scares me is Toledo. But measurables are insane.
Yeah.
He's a really impressive cornerback. His tape is amazing. I think he had a ton of interceptions last year, or actually only one interception last year, but a ton of breakups last year.
It's him and that Terrion Arnold from Alabama.
Terrion Arnold from Alabama, yeah, are the two top corners. But Quinyon, and the speed, I can't emphasize this. I think he ran a 4.3 at the combine. He shot up the charts. He's a guy who I wouldn't be mad if the Packers went up and got him. Let's say he falls to 17 and make a trade with the Jags.
Is that the number one position group you want to see addressed?
More so defensive back as a whole. I mean, there's just not a ton of great safeties.
You don't get a safety in the first round.
No, yeah. I mean, unless it's DeJean. And he seems like he could fall to the Packers.
He's a corner.
There.
He's a corner.
He could play both.
I'm not a coward. If I'm an NFL head coach, I'd play him at corner.
When you don't have a safety. When you literally don't have a starting safety on your roster, he might be playing safety.
We all know why. Just because there hasn't been like a white corner since like 2007.
Yeah, that's true.
Like literally, there hasn't been a starting white corner since like God knows when. And people thought Troy Apke was going to do it a couple of years ago, and he didn't. They moved him to safety.
Get this back on Quinyon instead of talking about white corners, he was literally being praised for sticking it out at Toledo. Everyone thought he was going to take advantage of NIL and the transfer portal and dip to go to a power school.
So if he would have, Hunter, though, is he a mid-round pick or is he going in the top 10?
He's probably going higher.
If he is taping the power 5 is what I'm asking.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's the thing, though, is there's some GMs commitment. That have talked about guys that are committing to schools. They like that, and that's helping their draft stock because they're seeing these guys, okay, you stuck it out at Toledo, and you were willing to stay there. We like that. That's somebody we want in our locker room.
Accountability, toughness, grit, competitor. Those are guys who hang around.
Exactly.
Guys who...
Colin gets it.
Follow the money. Right, follow like the it. Money. Fraudulent. Pretty boy. A joke.
Yeah.
Those are the guys who follow the money. NIL.
Lance on the YouTube chat pointing out that Riley Moss in Denver is a white corner, but I don't think he started any games last year.
No.
But he was a
third
round
pick. It's about starting
a
game. That was the statistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, also from Iowa, by the way.
DeJean is a beast. DeJean is going to be the biggest Swiss Army knife ever. You could put him anywhere on special teams and he'll dominate. He can play.
Yeah, he could be a returner.
Two or three different positions. He could probably play slot corner if you asked him to.
Safety. Packers luckily have their slot corner, and that's an incredibly tough position to play well in the NFL. If not, that might be the toughest position that's not quarterback in the NFL, slot corner. They bring Keyshawn Nixon back, so I assume he'll stick in that role. I truly believe, though, and DeJean is a guy I want to talk about anyway. He's not one of my draft crushes, but he would be a guy I'm very happy with if the Packers get him. I imagine the Packers would have him at safety, would stick him at safety in year one.
Yeah, probably. Right,
guy number two for you.
Jerzon Newton.
Yeah.
The defensive lineman from Illinois. And I know this because he dominated Wisconsin. He was all over the field.
Yeah, he killed Braden Locke.
Oh, killed him.
Did you see that hit? It's been making the rounds this week. Hunter, you've seen it?
I mean, I was watching the games.
Well, I know, but it's been remaking the rounds this week.
That cost them that game.
Correct, because he got ejected from that game.
Yeah, which was bogus. But that guy is a beast, and there's nothing better than a versatile, game-wrecking defensive lineman. And, like, think about, like, Jalen Carter... And the Jordan Davises.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, Aaron Donald, of course, but, like, that's a literally an all-world type player. So let's, like, slow down. But my point is, it's a very valuable position to have, very underratedly valuable position. If you have a guy like a space eater that could win one-on-one or fill up gaps or whatever.
Space eater, I like that.
Those are the guys who, that solidifies that run defense. That's what you do. And if they have pass rushing ability, too, best of both worlds.
So the thing I like about your list so far is you've picked two guys now that are being mocked all over the place.
All over the place.
Newton could be available. Packers have picked 41 in the second round.
That would be, he'd fall. That would be a fall.
I don't know that it would be, though. I did a mock draft last night. He was there at 41. That's who I took.
What position do you think everybody's going to race up the boards trading up to get?
Wide receivers and quarterbacks.
Quarterbacks, that's going to be in the beginning. But like once that's over, you think wide receivers is the one that people are going to try to leapfrog each other?
Let me ask you this.
Or on the flip side, are there so many that they won't worry about it?
Do you think the top four goes quarterback, 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 quarterback?
So the question is, do I think the Cardinals will get out of that four spot?
Yeah. Or draft a quarterback, which I know they have
Kyler.
They
need to get a great deal. And it sounds like, how about this Jaden Daniels stuff? You see that?
Yeah. He's trying to tank his way out.
He's leaving nuggets that he doesn't want to be drafted at two because it sounds like they told him that he would be at two.
He wants to go to Vegas, but they have picked, what, 13?
Mm-hmm. Pretty Ricky said that.
I did see that when I just looked up Pretty Ricky, yeah.
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 So, point is...
Pretty Ricky, pretty good, Hunter, actually. I recommend the follow. Pretty
Fine,
Ricky.
Fine, I'll do it right now.
EY213 on Twitter. He's got all sorts of nuggets. Anyway,
he's definitely an agent. He's definitely an agent.
Or he knows an agent, yeah.
Yeah. But how about that? You go on your visit. They probably tell you, we're leaning you in the draft. We're like, be prepared for us to take you. And then he's like, oh, crap. I don't want to go here.
It's fair.
But that's reflective of the player, in my opinion. Grow up. Play for the team.
Well, hang on now. Hang on. There was a certain quarterback that did that, and he won two Super Bowls. Eli Manning.
But still,
you can't. Number two overall, he's got. If he doesn't want to play at a team, like.
I just hate
no.
It.
That's.
I don't think the player has any, and I don't think Eli was right to do it too.
Eli was right to do it.
But
either.
The point is,
whatever. You guys are old men.
I don't think. Sorry, like you're good enough to be drafted in the top five. You're gonna go to a bad team.
It's very tough to control your own destiny though. And
It's not free agency. Wait till you're a free agent.
Right. I don't think they're gonna pass.
Don't sign your giant extension that they're gonna offer you if you're any good. Don't sign it. Go somewhere else if you don't like it.
I think the top four will be quarterbacks, and I think Arizona trades out. And they might trade out to...
Who knows where. They'd probably take all those Vikings picks, if I had to guess, because yeah, Vikings have
11, I think.
They had the most offer, They had 23.
Yeah, so get 11 and 23,
and probably another first rounder and a second rounder.
Or May, or whoever falls. Yeah, I think it goes quarterback, quarterback, quarterback.
I think trading all those resources for J.J. McCarthy is absolutely crazy. Ludicrous. Nuts.
But people are in love with him.
It happens every year. If the draft happened 3 weeks after the national championship, J.J. McCarthy would be a second rounder.
Yeah, or a third rounder.
This is what they do every year.
Yeah, and he's going to be a top five pick.
He's the new Christian Ponder.
Yeah, facts. And hopefully the Vikings draft them both. I hope.
That'd be ridiculous. I think Penix would be so much better off there.
Totally agree.
You don't need to play him right away.
Penix is going to end up in Vegas. He's going to be available at 13. Raiders are going to draft him.
That's what I think, too.
I think so, too. Anyway.
Bo Nix.
Anyway, is it my turn?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go tackle or offensive line, actually, more offensive guard. Kid from Duke, whose name I'm blanking on.
Graham Barton.
Thank you, Graham Barton. He's played every position on the offensive line. You can tell how in love with him I am by me blanking on his name. Yeah. But Graham Barton from Duke, he's on the screen right now.
Good old lineman, you forget their name.
No, that's true because you never hear it, right? And the Packers haven't drafted an offensive lineman in the first round since 2011. I said on, what day is it today? Friday. I said on Wednesday's show, I've convinced myself that they're going to draft an offensive lineman. Now, I still feel that way, but I feel a little bit less that way with the signing of Andre Dillard, who I think is strictly a depth piece, right? I don't think he would start at left tackle over Rashid Walker, but I think addressing that need with a former first-round pick in Andre Dillard, who obviously had some struggles in Tennessee last year, I don't know that they're married to offensive line, and I don't know that they ever were, but in my head, they were married to offensive line in the first round. I still think they could go that way because they don't love Josh Myers at center, and he's in the last year of his deal. But Graham Barton can play guard, he can play center, and he played a little tackle in college. He's the guy where, if you think about Brian Gutekunst and the offensive lineman he's drafted and fallen in love with, it's versatile pieces like that, right? Think Elton Jenkins. Think Zach Tom. Guys that can play every position. Graham Barton checks that box. And that experience I'm fascinated by. First team all ACC selection for Duke 2 years in a row. Like, he's the whole package. And he's another guy, like Collins' list, who's all over the place. I don't think he falls to 41 in the second round. I think the Packers would have to grab him at 25 if he's even available at 25. But you could look at a million mock drafts and... 5 through 32 are all different because it's just so unpredictable every single year. So Graham Barton is my number two draft crush on my list.
I don't know how this is going to fly. I got two here. I don't really know which direction to go. One's a quarterback.
Do them both.
One's a receiver.
Do them both.
I'll do the receiver quickly because there's less of a story to it. Ladd McConkey.
Yeah. Great name.
Great name. First of all, that's a receiver's name. And
Irish.
Slot all over the field. Experienced. I don't know. One of those like Puka Nacua, Hunter Renfro before whatever the hell happened to him, whatever doghouse he was put in. Like that, those type of slot possession, move the chains receivers. Oh, love them. They're great. Cooper Kupp. If you get a good one, you know, the receivers that are so like vertical, north and south, they're restricted. The guys who could do a little bit of everything, those are the guys that like win you games.
So before you get your quarterback, I'm fascinated by the wide receiver conversation for the Packers because it feels like they're in a good spot, obviously, right? On Wednesday's show, Hunter, we kind of power ranked the six top receivers on the Packers, the top four all recent draft investments in the last 2 years, and Romeo Dobbs, Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, and Dontavian Wicks. I wouldn't be upset if the Packers drafted a wide receiver in the first round. Now,
first round.
We know they won't do it because they haven't done it since Javon Walker and whatever that was, 2002, 2003. They won't do it. But if they did, I'm just saying I wouldn't be upset.
I think the Packers should at least spend a first three-round pick on receiver.
I think they might.
I think they should.
But, I mean, when you think of the needs of the Packers, in no particular order, it is these three specifically, right? Linebacker, they don't really have a Sam linebacker as it stands right now. They need a starting safety, which will probably come through the draft because they're done investing in free agency, at least for big swings, right? You did that on day one with Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. You signed a guy like Andre Dillard the other day. They signed a kind of a no-name cornerback named Jamon Green a couple days ago, more of a special team signing. They still need a starting safety, and they're not getting that in the free agency market anymore. So clearly they need to spend one of their first three rounds on a safety who's going to plug in and likely start week one in Brazil. And then the third need, in my opinion, is offensive line depth, right? I just mentioned it with Graham Barton, but they're not fully in love with their offensive line. The starting five as it stands right now would be fine, right? Rashid Walker, Elton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Sean Ryan, Zach Tom from left to right. But if you go offensive line, you can probably have a starting guard or a starting center that you draft early and plug in right away. Those are the three big positions of need. The other ones I would like to see them spend some capital on, even if that's in the first 2 days, running back, because A.J. Dillon and Josh Jacobs are too similar, and I'm just done with A.J. Dillon, right? Like, you can give him some reps. If Josh Jacobs, God forbid, gets hurt for a couple of weeks, I'm fine with him as your starter. But get a running back in there to take away those
reps.
That's
a late pick, though.
I don't think it is.
In this class.
Define late.
Fifth round.
I think they do it earlier. Third or fourth.
How many picks do you think they actually make in the draft?
They have 11 as it stands. I think they make 9 or 10. I think they use most of it.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
So if you have 11 picks, I don't know the exact number of where everything is. I don't know why you would waste, not the right word, use one high on a running back. Higher than usual. There's not a running back in this class that's a third. That's better than a third round
third?
Pick.
Well, they have two second round picks and two third round picks from the Rasul Douglas trade and Aaron Rodgers trade.
I think you would be foolish. I agree. Get the secondary piece immediately. I think that's immediate.
You think that's first round?
Yes. Two second round picks, offensive linemen, especially interior, always drop. Always. Those guys never hang around. I mean, they always hang around.
Yep.
That you spend one on them. And then if there's a linebacker that's worth getting it, I would either get that in the third round or a receiver that's worth pulling the trigger on, I'd get that in the second round. Because you could get a good second-round receiver. You get Worthy, Xavier. You could get the 4-2 guy if you wanted to. You get Ad Mitchell if he drops. Keon Coleman if he's there. Ricky Pearsall from Florida if you want. Leggett, the kid from South Carolina, you could get him. Troy Franklin, if he drops. Oh, Troy Franklin, I think, is going to be a really good player. Good play speed. But those are second-round picks. You get any of those guys, that would be dangerous, in my opinion. I think it's worth it. Why not stack up the offense? Why not? I think the Packers shouldn't make the mistake of anticipating everybody taking a gradual step forward just because they're young. Jacksonville did the same thing.
Yeah, no. I mean,
it bit them in the ass.
Well, it didn't for Green Bay last year. They did that, but I don't think they have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, at least to a point, obviously, you want your second and third year guys to take a step forward, but that's never a guarantee.
It doesn't always happen.
No, definitely not. But I think you feel good about a lot of those pieces, though, sure. And rightfully so. Jordan Love being one of them, only entering his second year as the starter. But you have to assume there's going to be a drop-off somewhere, whether that is, you know, whether that's Jaden Reed or one of the tight ends.
I think Watson's the most unreliable guy. So, because of that.
But when he's on the field, he's huge for that offense because he opens it up deep, right?
Yeah.
He opens up downfield.
Unreliable is the word.
Yeah, I think that's a fair word choice.
Because of that, he's the one, you know, Reed is a good player. Dobbs is a good player. Wick's a good player. I think they could use one more. Be dangerous.
Mm.
I don't know.
All right, who's your quarterback?
Bo Nix.
Really?
Bo?
He's older than Jordan Love.
Nix.
Jordan Love's entering his fourth year in the league.
Who cares?
Can't tell if you're being serious.
I swear to God. I think Bo Nix would be a pretty good NFL player. And you know, he has a very real chance of falling into Jacob Eason territory.
Yep.
Or somebody that's like, you know, a big arm guy who just like, you know, journeyman. But
Drew Lock.
He's experienced. Like more experienced
than Bo Nix.
Anybody. But
you think he'll be drafted in the first round?
No. Probably second round. He'll be second round.
Yeah, it'll be a second round pick.
But I like him.
I'm seeing him go like to Oakland at 13.
I'm looking at 4 mock drafts on CBS. He's not in the first round of any of them.
And I've seen a bunch of other ones that have him going
well,
in the first
round.
Well,
that's the thing. I said it earlier. Right? Like every mock draft is insane.
What other first round picks? You got Oakland. You got the first four already happening. Let's imagine Minnesota is going to make a move for a quarterback. The Giants.
Well, there's like 10 teams that need quarterbacks.
Ricky has been saying that the Giants plan on Daniel Jones holding a clipboard all season.
Strolf, why don't we just get Pretty Ricky on the show? Everything Collins brought up has been Pretty Ricky says this, Pretty Ricky says that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, we'll just interview him instead.
Should have been a Pretty Ricky Friday.
Do you have an original thought, Colin Russo?
Damn.
I mean,
Pretty Ricky
said
it.
Fair.
Means there's some substance to it if Pretty Ricky hears it.
Pretty Ricky's DMs are open, Hunter, if you want to work on him for next week.
I'll try that.
Yeah, let's get him. We could do a phone interview because I assume he wants to keep his anonymity.
None of us said the word right. Just move on.
Anonymity?
He wants to remain anonymous.
Yeah, okay, that's the run I should have got. You're probably right. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Dan Hurley went on J.J. Reddick's podcast.
What does this have to do with the draft?
Did about 4 minutes about how Luke Murray constructed that offense.
This has nothing to do with the draft.
McIntosh, make the move. Don't be a coward.
Shut up. Okay, so Bo Nix you're in love with. You think he ends up where?
Oh, dude. I have no idea.
I don't either. Denver?
Yeah. He could start at Denver.
Hunter, don't let me forget. We did all of our quarterback predictions. We can take a look at that next week.
Okay.
I feel like we did
pretty poorly on it, but
the free agents we did. The draft is always a crapshoot.
Exactly.
And we made those predictions before free agency started, so early March.
Yeah.
You think the Giants are going to get anybody?
Yes, I think they draft a quarterback.
Who?
Could be Bo Nix.
At 6?
No. No.
Second round pick.
Go wide receiver at 6.
Yeah.
Harrison might fall to him at 6.
Maybe. I think the Chargers should stay right put and hope that Arizona trades out so they can get Harrison. That's my take.
But the neighbors at 6? That's not bad.
No, you'll take that.
So I think they go receiver first round and maybe, I think they just have that first round pick. But early second round then, you can grab quarterback.
Who's going to be the colossal bust?
Of the quarterback class?
Let's do quarterbacks.
J.J. McCarthy. Is that too obvious?
I think it'll be Jaden Daniels.
Oh, I don't. I think I told you this last week. I'm high on Daniels.
Yeah.
I think he might be the best quarterback of this class other than maybe Caleb Williams, who seems like he'll probably be a horseshoe franchise guy.
My problem with J.J. McCarthy is I never saw him be the reason they won. He didn't lose them games.
No, he didn't.
But, like, he just never – and it's like, okay, you're a college quarterback at Michigan. Like, yeah, I would hope that you can hit a guy that's wide open and has 4 yards of separation. And, like, come on.
I know. And there's a thing to be said about – how people evaluate quarterbacks based on that. You remember Tua got the same thing. Tua's had a pretty good, he's not great, but he's had a pretty good NFL career. Mac Jones, same thing, and he was a disaster, right? So it kind of goes, it cuts both ways. People said that about Baker because he had CeeDee Lamb and Hollywood Brown and the tight end, the white guy, Calcaterra, something like that, Grant Calcaterra, who was a great player.
Good pull. Did Pretty Ricky send you that?
No, he didn't. But they thought Baker, everybody thought that Baker would be like a little iffy because he was throwing in a Lincoln Riley offense with all these guys wide open all over the field. Baker's had a pretty good career.
No doubt. No doubt.
So there's no way to tell. You got to really do the deep diving. It's not just if the receivers are open or not, but McCarthy. Yeah, I'm not. It's an easy answer.
It is.
So I'm not gonna like do it.
But you think it's Jaden Daniels?
I don't know. I don't think he's gonna be that good.
Well, if he gets drafted to Washington, and he doesn't want to be there. That could spell disaster.
He's too small.
And we've seen that with Bryce Young from a year ago.
He's too small.
All right, my last one is also a twofer. And I've done this before, about 10 years ago. I fell in love with a guy because of his name.
Oh, geez.
The Packers ended up drafting him. His name is Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. Right? Great name. Amazing name. I think the Packers might go the name route this year. Because as we know about Brian Gutekunst, he loves defense. And there's two names defensively that could be available. And likely both of them could be available at 25. Hunter, can you guess the two names defensively I'm thinking of?
Yeah, absolutely. Kool-Aid McKinstry, Chop Robinson.
You got it, my man.
Even though Chop's a nickname, but fine.
Yeah, but it's what he goes by.
I know.
Kool-Aid's probably a nickname, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
I was going to say, Kool-Aid's probably not a first name. Kool-Aid McKinstry, I mean, obviously, we just talked about it earlier with the fact that the Packers need defensive backs. Obviously, if they were going to move, I'd be okay with Quinyon Mitchell, but if they're going to stay put, Kool-Aid McKinstry seems like a good get at cornerback. Chop Robinson, I think defensive line is a sneaky position the Packers could address in the first round.
You can never have too many guys in the defensive line.
No, I mean, on both sides of the line, right?
You can never have too many guys.
Too many guys in the trenches. You never can. So if Chop Robinson from Penn State is there at 25, I wouldn't be mad about that either. But it's probably more a name thing for me than it should be. I'm fascinated by names. So anyway, those are our draft crushers as it stands. The Friday prior to the NFL draft, you can chime in with yours on TikTok or YouTube or Facebook, wherever you're watching this, or shoot us a tweet at @Alex_Strofe if you're listening on the audio side of the podcast. He's Colin Russo, Alex Strofe with you. Want to pivot over to the NBA now as game one of the NBA playoffs between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Indiana Pacers coming up Sunday at Fiserv Forum. Giannis out for the Bucks, and the Bucks have had some troubles with the Pacers this season, 1-4 against Indiana. Now, it should be noted, all five of those games happened while Adrian Griffin was still the head coach of the Bucks, which feels like that was 17 years ago. This has been a really wacky up-and-down season for the Bucks, and now another blow given to them here as they enter the postseason with Giannis definitely out for game one of this series. How do you feel about this series? I mean, the Pacers are sneaky good, but they've fallen off a little bit since they had that really hot start.
What do the Pacers do well? They are an outstanding pick-and-roll team. That is what they do.
They score the basketball.
They trigger the guards defensively, and Halliburton gets in space. He uses his screens, and they get downhill, whether it's Siakam or other big guy, Miles Turner. They use those two, and they get downhill, and they engage the guards defensively.
Mm-hmm.
So where is that problem there? Damian Lillard is not a great defender.
No.
They are going to target
Pat
him.
Bev.
And you know, Halliburton's not good enough. First of all, Halliburton making that USA team is a complete disaster. But Halliburton's not great enough to really make him pay, but he is very much in a position to piss him off. And I think that is dangerous because when you're running pick and rolls all game and you can't stop it, everything gets a little more annoying, and that's going to reflect offensively, especially when there's no Giannis. That's why when he's back, that's going to completely change. Of course, it's going to change the series, but that's what he's good at. He's a good off-ball defender. He's a great on-ball defender, but he's an even better off-ball defender.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it's dangerous when you have Giannis and Lopez in space defensively stopping that pick and roll.
Which of these series intrigues you most? Is it Indiana-Milwaukee? Is it Mavs-Clippers? Or is it Sixers-Knicks? Which of those three series intrigues you?
Sixers-Knicks, I think, is the best series of the postseason right now.
In the first round?
Yes. Okay. And I think number two would be Wolves-Suns.
Wolves-Suns is intriguing. Yeah.
Because Wolves don't play well against Phoenix, and it's sort of like the Young Bucks. I think when teams don't know how to win in the playoffs, and they're starting to learn how to win, and they're like kind of in that in-between period, I think that's where it's most intriguing. The Thunder haven't really lost in the postseason yet. That's why I think they're going to be an early out. On the flip side, Minnesota's lost. They remember, they gave Denver their toughest bout last year in the postseason. Because of that, I think they won one or two. I think they won two games. But my point is, you got to learn how to lose before you win. I think that's my philosophy with the NBA.
The Thunder aren't going to be an early out. I mean, if by early you mean in the second round.
Before, I think they'll be out before the second. Yeah, the conference final.
Okay. Yeah, that I can get behind.
But yeah.
I mean, the first round draw is going to be probably not too tough.
I think
I don't believe in Sacramento and the Pelicans.
I think
are
the winner of that Mavericks.
Zion.
I think the winner of that Mavericks Clips series, barring health.
Yeah, Mavs Clips is really interesting to me because
Leonard's got
to
play. Leonard's got to play.
He'll play. He'll play.
Leonard is so good in the playoffs when he plays. He's a top three player in the league when he's
the thing that
in the
sucks
playoffs.
About these play-in games tonight: Chicago at Miami and Sacramento.
Oh, I'm
New
not
Orleans.
Into them at all.
Well, there's no Jimmy Butler and no Zion Williamson.
Yeah. NBA's got an injury problem.
Brutal.
NBA's got an injury problem.
I'm going to play video games instead.
And now you have no Giannis for the Bucks series.
You think Sixers are going to beat the Knicks?
Yes.
You do? What about you?
I think they do, but it's close. Like, they do
it late.
I think
it's 6 or 7. Yeah, I think it's a good series.
Here's the problem with the Knicks. You're not convinced that the Knicks really... You know how every team has, like, another gear? They raise their level. They raise their floor for the postseason. The Knicks play at that all the time.
Yeah.
I think you know what the Knicks' ceiling is. I don't think you know what a lot of these playoff teams' ceilings are. The Lakers are going to play a whole lot better because it's the playoffs. Denver is going to play a whole lot better because it's the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Boston, probably going to kick it to another gear because it's the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks play at playoff intent, for better or worse, play at playoff intensity all year round. When you got Dante DiVincenzo, 55 minutes, Josh Hart playing 50 minutes, 48 minutes. Like I don't know if they could kick it up a gear. And that's what worries me about them. You don't really know.
Well, like, their problem was the fact that they needed to play that way just to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, well, they got the 2 seed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, they were the type of team, though, they needed to go all out to be able to win and go on those longer streaks. And otherwise, they were maybe a play-in team.
Yeah.
Because that's just the type of team that they are right now. And so now they get to try and deal with, okay, can we still win games when everyone's playing at the same intensity we were playing at when we're playing January 8th?
Now that's part of the reason. Yeah, that's Thibodeau all over. And his teams run out of gas every year in the postseason.
Every single year. You're so right.
So that's what worries me about them a little bit. Did you see what the NBA deemed, why the NBA deemed Dante DiVincenzo ineligible for the most improved player? So here's the rule. Dante DiVincenzo, who probably would be in the running for most improved player, probably him and Kobe White, obviously was like an 8 point per game player.
Can you refer to him as world champion Dante DiVincenzo, please?
Sure. World champion Dante DiVincenzo was like an 8 point per game player last year. I think this year he's averaging like 15 or 16 a game. Point is,
he wasn't on that team.
He was a trade deadline move.
Yeah, but he got the ring, right?
Yeah, he got the ring, but he wasn't even there the back half of the season. Not to interrupt you, Colin, but
he's
like,
a world champion. He has a ring.
That's the weakest world championship ring ever.
He's a world champion.
It's soft.
Right.
That's a 10-ply world championship.
You looked at me like he wasn't traded that season.
He was, but it's
but
soft.
But you still get a ring.
It's soft to call him a champion.
He's a world champion, Hunter.
I understand that. But it is soft to call him a world champion, when he did not play a single minute in the playoffs.
Continue. World champion Dante DiVincenzo.
World champion Dante DiVincenzo. So here's the deal. He appeared in 81 games. The NBA doesn't recognize 16 of them because he played under 20 minutes.
Oh.
And he started off the year playing sparingly. He had the rule is, I'm going to try to do just justice to what the actual like the logistics are. He has like a 2-game max that he could play between 15 and 20 minutes a game and be eligible. Anything more than that, the games doesn't count. And then he's got like 2 that he could play below 15 minutes and still be count, and then more than that is done. The early part of the year in November, he was playing like 15 minutes a game. So some games he's playing less, some games he's playing more. Point is, by the end of the game, he played 53 minutes in the last game. So by the end of the game, at the end of the season, he was playing the entire game. And they're not going to make him eligible for most improved player because he played, for example, 14 minutes and 51 seconds in like a February game against Magic, and he played like 14 minutes and 49 seconds in January against like the Hawks.
I just like to point out we're both wrong. DiVincenzo was on that team. He just got hurt. So he got traded the next year. Or left the next year. But So he still got a ring. He just didn't play after the first round.
Okay, so I take that back. Not a soft ring. He was on the roster. He was just hurt. My bad, Dante.
He got traded in that Serge Ibaka trade the next year. Remember Serge Ibaka, random buck. Serge Ibaka back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
How about that? So he's not eligible.
Back to Colin's point.
Because he's
back
nine,
to about me.
He appeared in 81 games. And he's not eligible because of the 65 game,
you know,
certain minute restriction rules.
Colin,
that is a joke.
I just don't care. It's the least fun award. Six man is more fun. Obviously, MVP and DPOY are more fun.
That's a joke.
All NBA
though.
Teams are more fun. I agree. The new rules are pretty stupid. But
I know I love the 65 game minimum. But when you actually freaking play,
so does Joel Embiid deserve to be an All NBA guy or no?
Because what was his final? What floor. Was it? Was it 53 minutes? 53 games? Something like that?
Yeah, he was definitely below the threshold.
Probably more than that. Probably play like late 40s. If he was late 40s, no. If he was under 50, no. Absolutely not.
But is the threshold incorrect?
Ability is based on availability. If you're not available, sorry.
Yeah, that's fair.
People, you got to play.
All right, you know who's always available is Taylor Swift. New album came out last night.
Yeah,
you listen to it?
I mean, you're talking about stuff, who cares?
I mean, a lot of people care. You familiar with Charlie Puth?
The guy who did See You Again.
Yeah, him.
Yeah. He's a talented guy.
He got a shout out in one of her songs. Underrated artist, she called him. She fit it into a verse.
She said that Charlie Puth, underrated artist.
We agree that Charlie Puth is an underrated artist. By the way, Embiid only 39 games.
Yeah, no chance.
Yeah, no chance.
What was the haunt? She said, how do you even like rhyme that? Charlie Puth, underrated artist.
I listened to the song once, so I think she said you and I agree that Charlie Puth is an underrated artist.
That is not a musical line at all.
I mean, it's Taylor Swift. She made it work. Also wrote a song about Travis Kelce.
Two songs about Travis Kelce.
I haven't listened to the second part of the album.
Listen, I might rattle some feathers here. Here's what needs to happen.
Uh-oh.
There's an imbalance in pop culture world. She is a complete chokehold on everything pop culture,
that's
right?
That's true. She does. Yep.
Who is the one person that could come out from his nest and challenge that? I have somebody in mind.
Michael Jackson, back from the grave.
Okay, he's a pop star. Bruno?
Bruno Mars?
No, there is no way. They aren't even playing the same sport.
He could do it.
No, he can't. He had to do a Super Bowl halftime show back-to-back years because he's so irrelevant.
I thought you were going
to
say Eminem.
Bruno?
Maybe Bieber?
First of all,
Bruno Mars.
For those of you who didn't watch his halftime performance, watch the one with Beyonce and Coldplay when he does the dance battle against Beyonce.
Oh, look at that. He needed two
that
other people.
Was
it's a dance
awesome.
Battle, Hunter. Of course
that
he needed
guy
other people.
That guy is a superstar.
Yeah, a superstar that needed two other people to
he
have a relevant halftime show.
He
great.
Could do it.
We're done.
He could do it.
We're done.
He could do it.
Stop.
Colin,
no,
Colin,
he can't.
He could dethrone her.
We're done. Colin, thank you.
He could do it.
Thank you. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Luke Murray, Bruno Mars, and
turn his mic off.
Bo Nix.
He's done. He's done. All right. Thank you to Colin. We'll be back with him in a couple weeks. You learn something new every day. Actually, today, I've known this for a while. I'm going to teach you something today because we have a show-related announcement and a me-related announcement to make as we wrap up the week. So we will only be with you Monday next week, and then we will return back to Monday, Wednesday, Friday the following week because I'm moving. I will be joining the team at ESPN Milwaukee beginning next Wednesday, which means Monday will be my last show in Madison. The show will remain the same, but I will be joining the team at Kyle Bruston-Nortman, the afternoon show across ESPN Wisconsin. I'll be their new producer weekdays from 2 to 5, but Mr. Relevant will remain intact. Tiny Hands will still be a part of the show. We'll just be 100 miles apart. So I will be hosting the show from Milwaukee beginning, what would be the date on that, a week from Monday to wrap up NFL draft coverage. So April 29th will be our first show back in action following the NFL draft. So we'll come back Monday, we'll do the show, we'll make some draft predictions, we'll make some draft, give some draft thoughts, and then we will go back and wrap up the draft and catch up on everything we missed over the course of a week the following Monday. So Monday, our final show in Madison. I am off to join the team at ESPN Milwaukee. Colin Russo is currently raising his hand in front of my face.
I'm going to let him.
There's
go ahead, Colin.
One guy also.
Can I turn his mic off?
No, let him go.
Who could challenge it? You're going to agree with this. Justin P. Bieber.
I said that already. All right,
no.
Mr. Relevant, we're back with you Monday.
Bieber can do it.
Final show in Madison. I'm Alex Strope. Thanks to Colin. Thanks to God Tiny Hands. I don't know what the hell happened at the end. We'll talk to you Monday. Peace.